there. If you are a woman who does not have kids by chance, not by choice, this message is for you. If you had an inner desire to be a mother but never came to reality, this show is for you. If you got married at a later stage in your life, or if you are single and you never had the chance to even try, this is for you. If you were a mama at some point and suffered a loss, this is for you too. And if you want to feel like you are a part of a community, alongside other women who have walked a similar path, who understand you, who see you and feel you, this is where you belong. This show is called By Chance Podcast, a space for sacred conversations with women who don't have kids by chance, not by choice. I'm Elizabeth Diglau-Gus, your new friend and podcast host. I am a woman who has overcome 10 years of infertility struggles, including 3 years of failed adoptions. So trust me when I say I see you. I'm also a social entrepreneur and a life coach, focusing on helping women thrive rather than just survive. I help women who are ready to transform their lives, empower themselves to live with purpose and radical self-love. Together, let's celebrate life and being a woman without being defined by the role of motherhood. And my hope is that you will feel seen, heard, and feel less alone when you tune in. Now it's time. Let's go. Hi, welcome back to another episode of By Chance Podcast. This conversation with Lynn, my very good friend, / yoga teacher, / mentor, was refreshingly so honest, deep, and insightful. I invited Lynn to be on the show because her story is quite different and she doesn't have kids by choice. And I wanted to share that different perspective from what most of us have. Also, I want you to hear her thoughts and insight into healing and how we can explore that all on our own by starting within. And she did share a few tactical ways on how we can practice this. Lynn has a multifaceted background with a master's degree in spiritual psychology and extensive study in different yoga traditions. She is a dedicated full-time yoga teacher, breathwork facilitator, sound healer, and life coach. As a member of our very close-knit community, I love her humor, her passion, and just love for others. So I'm so, so excited about this episode because it's really good and I hope you enjoy it as much as I have. Hello, Lynn. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
I mean, okay, I want to say this right off the bat. You are my teacher. You are my yoga teacher, my spiritual teacher. You are my mentor. You have been a good friend of mine and now we're planning, you know, travel adventures. And so I just love you and I have a couple of reasons why I wanted to have this conversation with you, because one, you have a story to tell, as we all do, and I would want that perspective, like I want to share that perspective coming from you. And the second one is because you are a healing teacher, you are, you know, just spiritual teacher, if you will, and I think a lot of our listeners, we are all in this healing journey, and so I would really want to get your insight on just how do we live this life, and especially for us women who have navigated, you know, infertility or by chance do not have kids. How do we do this life, right? So we can talk about a lot of things and we'll just go wherever we go. But again, thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. Oh, I love you. I love your vulnerability, everything that you've shared, the courage, because it's not easy, right? It's much easier to say, I'm fine, I'm good, push through. And yeah. So you have gone outside of that. And as you do that, you really light the path for others on that healing journey. So thank you for doing that. Thank you.
Yeah. Coming from you, I receive all that. I appreciate that because, again, what all your words mean a lot to me, mean so much to me. So, but before we dive in, tell us anything about yourself, whatever you want to share.
I always get scared when I get asked this question. Who am I? It's like a hard question, you? Right?
Who are you?
I am just a light. That's it.
You are a light. True. Very true. You are a light.
It you know, for me, sometimes that feels like a trick question because it's like, you know, who am I? You know, it's like, I am who I am. That is that. And so oftentimes, you know, in our world, we have to identify with someone. I'm a mother. Mm-hmm. I'm this. I'm that. And it's like, truth be said, I am. I am. And that's it. Now, I've had a journey in life because I wasn't okay with I am.
I just want to say that that was a very the epitome of an answer from a spiritual teacher. I am who I am.
And I love it. I love, I'm all over it. So, okay, who are you in so many other different ways?
So there was a very long period in my life where I tried to identify with not just simply being I am, you know, so, you know, I didn't feel worthy in life, you know, and as we were sharing, it's kind of funny, you know, how do you end up with a master's degree? Well, because I didn't feel worthy, you know, and it's like, you know, we take on all these different, you know, things that we should be, you know, and sometimes that sets us up, you know, for our real spiritual life. You know, we really look at life as we have the goal line, you know, the things that we want in our lives, and they will always bring up stuff on our spiritual line. You know, so it's like, you know, well, I want to be successful. Well, what does that mean? Yeah. And it will bring up stuff on your spiritual line. Well, I want to be a mother. Oh, really? Well, what does that bring up on your spiritual line? So really, it's like our life journey is we are revolving. You know, we're always changing and growing. And if we could see that, you know, then it's like, oh, okay, life doesn't seem so messy. But if we had to like really pinpoint who am I and what do I do in the world, today I'm actually a full-time yoga teacher. I lead breathwork, sound baths. I'm a coach. I lead retreats around the world. So like for me, it's like I am this inspiration to empower you to live a fulfilled life. One, healthy. Really, if you are not healthy, you really can't have anything, right? Mm-hmm. Health is the beginning. And health mm-hmm. starts in our physical body. As much as we would like to pretend like it doesn't, if this temple is not healthy, everything else steps aside because we have to create health. And so really, I'd say my goal in life is really to inspire people to live a fulfilled life, but in that, to be healthy, you know, take care of this temple that we will live this part of our life in. And so, yeah.
I love that. I mean, I met you maybe 5-6 years ago before the pandemic when we were doing the in-person, right? In-person yoga in studio.
What is that?
Yeah, right? Like, what was that like?
And I think I've dabbled in yoga before so many years, but I never got consistent until I met you and the way you just teach yoga, and because it was really so much about purpose and meaning and just life and the way you align everything just and how we can make it really, what's the word, like impactful in our own lives, right? It's just not the practice of yoga and doing all the poses. It was so much more than that, and everything that you said and everything that you did resonated with me. So I'm curious though, I want to backtrack a little bit. Like, what inspired you in this journey and what really got you into this spiritual, like you have a master's in spiritual psychology. You went through all that. Like, so like without, you know, diving deep, deep, but like, I just want to know, how was that for you?
A spiritual crisis. A divorce. My entire life fell apart overnight. You know, so I was already practicing yoga. I had been a part of a teacher training in yoga. And yoga to me was a physical practice. I had a nice yoga bud. And then all of a sudden, my life fell apart. And never in a million years did I think I was going to be in a divorce. And the only time I could find peace was on the yoga mat. Now, wouldn't it be nice if I could just stay on a yoga mat 24/7?
Right.
Yeah, you really right. can't. You know, so I was in this teacher training program, and the spiritual practice started to be revealed to me, but I didn't fully understand it until I was introduced to Kundalini yoga, which was totally different than where I started. I started in Ashtanga, 26 poses, hardcore, sweating, amazing body, you know, but I didn't know there was a spiritual side to it. I just thought it was just about this body, you know. But when I got in my divorce, literally, I I did what I think a lot of society did. I pushed through. I'm fine. I'm good. And I just pushed through. And I remember my yoga teacher actually saying to me, because I didn't cry, I didn't anything, I just pushed through. And my yoga teacher saying, if you don't allow yourself to feel what you need to feel, your body will show it. And I'm like, yeah, whatever, huh? Yeah, 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 yeah. And I just kept pushing through. And at age 30, I got shingles. That usually doesn't happen at age 30. My body, because I was stuffing it, I was nope, I'm fine, I'm good. Like, this is divine order, spiritual pie bands. Everything happens in divine order. Yeah. And so my body, I was lucky. My body gave me a signal. Hey, you're out of balance. You need to come back in. Most people, many times the body doesn't show it. And you end up in kind of this distance from ease, moving towards cancer, moving towards. So I was, you know, most people are like, oh, what else? I was actually grateful. Because I got to experience my body showing me, you stuff it, it's wreaking havoc on the inside.
Wow, I didn't know anything about the shingles that you had at such a young age. That's like a true manifestation of like everything that you were going through mentally and emotionally. Yeah. But what, did you know right away that, oh, wow, this is my body telling me something? Or because many people would just be like, oh, I got shingles. Oh, I got this, right? You wouldn't really connect the two.
Well, I was fortunate. I always feel like, you know, the divine order has set me up. I was fortunate. I was actually in a teacher training program for yoga. And so as my body was showing it, we actually didn't know what was happening. I was out in the jungles of Thailand. I was in Thailand at that time. I was out in the jungles of Thailand. I saw these bumps. I thought a mosquito bite or something. And then the bumps started blistering. And we still didn't know what was going on. I was still doing my practice. My teacher kept saying, you know, every day you show up to your practice, you need to spend some time. He actually gave me the assignment to go to my room and cry. I'm like, all right, this sounds so ridiculous. You want me to go to my room and cry? He knew I was going through a divorce. I didn't tell anyone else. So he knew. And I would sit in my room. I'm like, okay, this sucks. Everyone else is swimming in the ocean and I'm sitting here supposed to cry. I had no tears to cry. It was like, I was just pushing through. And then it progressed. If you know shingles, it's like you're being electrocuted. The blistering starts. And so when I went to finally go see a doctor, the doctor shared, you have shingles. I'm like, what is that? Like, I didn't know. What is that? And as that doctor explained, he said, shingles lies dormant in the body. If you've had chicken pox, it's there. And under emotional stress, it will be triggered to come alive. And yeah. I'm like, oh, doctor didn't know that I was in this process of a divorce. And like, and I was like, wow, okay. And at that time, shingles is about a 5 to 6 week process. At that time, I was at 4 weeks. And he's like, you have a choice now. He's like, I can give you, you know, pain stuff. He's like, but you're pretty close to the end. You got through some pain.
Yeah.
What do you want me to do? And I said, well, let me just finish it.
Wow.
And so I just finished it. But so, because I was there in the yoga world and my teacher, you know, started to say, remember how I said you needed to feel what you need to feel and your home play was to go and I would send you back to your cabin. And I grew up to be strong, push through. So it was like, I wasn't going to let anything, you know. And I remember it finally, I don't even know at what day, finally I sat in that room and I cried. And I cried and I cried. And it was like this heavy weight lifted off me. It was like, that's all I needed to do.
You just needed to cry?
Something so simple.
You know, I am a big believer of that too. I mean, feeling your feelings. And I think we can all relate when you said, like, yeah, you were raised, you know, in the family or in this culture too, right? Like, that we're not supposed to feel. In my case, actually, it's not really just about feeling. It's more of, we don't talk about these things. And so not talking about these, the hard things kind of pave way to not feeling anything, right? Because you mask it, you pretend that everything is okay. Everything looks good. Oh yeah, everything is perfect. But the manifestation is real. How our body like just really responds, and it's so intelligent that it will bring it out in one way or another, right? So I am a big believer of that. I'm glad that you pointed that out, because I think in this healing journey, especially going through infertility, there's a lot of tears, but some are not really able to express them, which adds another layer to it, right? Like,
because you don't know how.
Yeah.
You just like, I grew up in a time where if you cry, I'll give you a reason to cry. And my parents would hit me. Not that they were doing anything wrong. That was just how they were brought up.
Right.
So I learned, stuff it, push through, or you're going to get hit more. You know, and so it's like, how do you unravel that? You know, how do you unwind that? How do you, like, how do you even give your body permission to cry? You know, and it took my yoga teacher sending me days. You get to go back to your room and cry. I'm like, oh, great. I'm going back to that room again. You know, it's like, but one day I finally did it. Mm-hmm. You know, it was just that consistent. You go to your room, set the intention to let yourself feel what you're going to feel. And that might be you cry.
And sometimes it's more scary to sit in a room and really feel your feelings.
Yeah.
It's so scary that people would rather just shove it down and distract themselves, right? And then now with the social media, it's so easy to scroll up and down your phone and watch Netflix, then go to a room and cry because, like, oh, that's so dramatic. Oh, that's so heavy. Who wants that? But for our body's sake, our health's sake, for our mental sake, for the spirituality alone, our soul needs that. So how would you, for someone who is not used to that, like how do you even begin? Because the idea of go to the room and feel your feelings and cry could be daunting. And it's for them, it's like, oh, what do you mean? What? How do I do it, right? I mean, I'm a crier now. I'll cry even. I don't have to be sitting in my room. I could just cry anywhere, because if I'm going to let it out, just let it out. So how would you suggest for people who don't have that yet, like who don't have this practice, spiritual practice, if you will, just to let out and feel the feelings?
Yeah. So if you were to fast forward, you know, from my first teacher training, fast forward all the way to when I was working on my master's degree in spiritual psychology, there they had this write and burn technique, you know, where you, and I'm going to be truthful. I remember when I first, like, I'm like, you want me to do what? Like, that's really going to work. And I didn't do it for a long, long, long time. but it's like training yourself to give yourself permission to feel what you need to feel. It might not be tears. It might be anger. It might be frustration, you know? And so it's like, you have to tap into this ability to give yourself permission inside to give that a voice. And so they taught us this write and burn technique, where literally you would just light a candle, set a timer, 15, 30 minutes, you know? And I remember, you know, because I work as a life coach, and I remember working with someone else that was going through a divorce, and she was fine pushing through it. And I gave her this write and burn technique. And all you're doing is setting on the piece of paper, my intention is to open up and release whatever is within. You could set whatever that intention is. And then you just start writing. At first, I remember the first time I did it, I just wrote, I'm just supposed to write and something's supposed to come up. And I'm sure something's going to come up as long as I keep writing. maybe I'm feeling this. Nope, I'm not feeling that. Because like, I had to practice it. Like I never gave myself permission to be angry. You know, so it was like these feelings, like I'm supposed to be joyful, peaceful. That is me. You know, so it was like, and I would just write and then I would just burn, watch it burn, you know, and the first few times it literally was, I was just writing out of, okay, I'm supposed to be writing. I'm supposed to be doing this. And then one day, like all of a sudden I was not writing and just like, and these memories, like I had totally forgotten. But as children, many times we push down. And then as adults, we start to grow through those. And so, you know, and I remember the gal that I was coaching, you know, she was in the process of a divorce, and for her, anger came up, you know, and there she was. She had no idea she was angry, you know, and then when you watch it burn, you have that opportunity for the psyche to literally, because you're pushing it down. That's our tendency in life. Feel something that is dark and deep. It's like, oh God, no, you push it down. And you just keep pushing it down and you keep working your way through until a spiritual crisis happens. Your whole life falls apart. But if you did these little things, you know, to kind of keep yourself in check, keep yourself in balance, you know, so it could be a write and burn. Mm-hmm. It could be a technique where, you know, they showed us another technique where we would sit in one chair, talk, move to the other chair, talk. So like this inner dialogue with thyself, you know, and so there you are going back and forth. And these techniques worked for me because, you know, I actually, in the time of my divorce, I was so adamant and pushing through, being strong, you know, and alcohol became a part of my life, you know, and it was because that was the easy way to deal with it, right?
Right. Oh, yeah.
I didn't know how bad of an easy way until one time I drank way too much. And a dear friend, I didn't even know how. So my yoga teacher was telling me just cry and, you know, da, 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 da. And it's a process, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so I cried, but that didn't completely resolve things. And, you know, and so there I was. I started drinking. And this dear friend, love him to death. I drank too much one night. I don't remember what happened. And he came to me the next day and he said, Lynn, you know, as you're pushing through this, it looks like you're okay. You're not. Mm. It's like, I got to see a very angry side of you the other day. You need to see a therapist. Mm. He's like, you don't know how deep this is. And I'm like, a therapist? What are we talking about?
Right, right.
But I trusted him, you know, so I went and I saw a therapist. Thousands and thousands of dollars.
Of course. But it's so beautiful for you to even have that support, right? To even to bring that up, because a lot of times when we're so in it, whatever we're going through, you don't really know like how you're reacting. And sometimes we're passive aggressive or even aggressive and fighting with other people. You know, our moods change, our persona changes and everything else. And then we drink, you know, a lot of different coping mechanisms that are not healthy at all. And so to have that friend even bring it up to you, that's pretty powerful. And I also love that you, for people who are not like, what do you mean crying, right? That could be like, heck no, I'm not going there. And many people would rather not choose that route. But I like that you pointed out the write and burn. It's very tangible. You know what? You just write. And like you said, you started out with, okay, fine. I'm supposed to be doing this. I'm going to write whatever. Or I'm, you know, just like making all these, like write whatever curse words you want, just write. And then you burn and eventually. So it's such a simple thing to do, but actually so powerful. And I think, and I hope that will resonate with people. And then the other one that you brought up was playing some kind of role, like talking to yourself,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
And now I just want to back up the write and burn. There is one important aspect. You can't go back and read it.
Okay.
You have to write and keep writing and burn it, because that's giving yourself that internal. Because the first day, you know, it's like, can I really write? Someone might read this. I don't know.
That's a good point. Yeah.
You know, and so when you start to give that internal process permission, yeah, this is literally a dumping process. No one's going to read it. You are free to feel what you need to feel. And as you, then you burn it the next day, you do it again. All of a sudden, then it's like, ah, it's okay. It's okay to feel. It's okay to write it. No one's going to read it. So make sure you have that part in there. Yeah.
That's so good. I'm so glad you pointed that out. And again, this might sound really woo-woo for other people. We do woo-woo stuff and it's great. It's like just, let's just embrace for what, you know, but these are simple things that
anyone can really practice. And again, it's a process. Some processes may not work for everyone. And so it's good to just try whatever works for you and then just do that practice.
Because, absolutely.
And it's good for the soul. It's good for all of us, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to shift gears for a little bit. I know we talk about, you know, not having kids by chance, and you have a different story, which inspired me in so many ways as well, because you are by choice. And would you like to share more about that?
Darn it. I thought I might bypass this question.
You know I'm going to go there.
Well, you know, sometimes I wonder by chance or by divine order.
Yeah. Okay.
But one of the things, as a young child, I was not such a great young child. I was a bad child, technically, according to my parents. And I remember my dad one time, I don't know what I had done. I did something. And my dad saying, you know, your kids are going to be double the trouble. And as a little kid, my response was, Dad, I'm not having kids.
Interesting.
I wonder if that little girl knew something. So that was just a little girl's, you know, smirky comment back to dad. But now you fast forward into my life and I do get pregnant at a very young age. I was 17 years old. And if you go back in time, at that time, people just didn't get pregnant. It was a bad thing for girls to even be having. I wasn't supposed to be having sex, but I was. And, yeah. I got pregnant. And a time that was so hard. I mean, my first instinct was end my life. Like, I literally have made the biggest mistake in my life. And, you know, was like, okay, that's kind of not an option. And so I do decide to proceed with the pregnancy. And as I proceed with the pregnancy,
I thought I could hide it. Eventually, my parents figured out my boobs were getting bigger, my belly was getting bigger.
It's going to show eventually.
But by the time they figured it out, to me, it was too late to do anything other than have a full term. So I knew in my heart, I had no right. Just because my body could have a baby, who was I to actually have a baby? You know, I like a child deserves everything. Mm-hmm. And I feel lucky that there was an instinctual knowing of that at that age. And so, you know, my parents,
they freaked out. Like, that's a whole nother ballgame, a whole nother story, the judgments and all that I went through.
Yeah. And we went and met with like adoption specialists, and I was going to be A and baby was going to be B, and we'd never. And I was like, oh, yeah. That's not an option. No. And I was like, we got to figure something out because, you know, this baby deserves everything, knowing who I am if they choose. And so we ended up finding our way to an open adoption. But while I was pregnant, since it was such a shunned thing back then, I was pulled from high school. I was put into an all-pregnant school. So it was just a bunch of pregnant girls. At that time, we all screwed up and there we were. And so I was with a bunch of women, some women who were choosing to have their babies. Most were choosing to give their babies up for adoption. And I watched many of those young girls not be able to do it. And I was so scared. Like, I knew that this baby growing in me deserved to have everything. But I would watch these young girls come back and make a decision to keep. And I was like, but like, you can't give this child everything. So it was a really, really hard. Mm-hmm. And for anyone that's going through adoption, I mean, it brings tears to my eyes.
Yeah.
Because anyone going through an adoption, like a parent receiving a baby and then finding out they can't keep that baby. Whoa, that heaviness held on me so much. Like, I was like, I got to go through this. I got to somehow go through this, because all those women that didn't, like, oh my God, those babies, they deserve so much more. And there's this part of me that was just in this battle. And so it was hard. The hardest thing I had ever had to do.
you know, and it was like, I knew I couldn't give a child everything. And so I went through with the adoption. I found I would go through these books. If you're a woman who's gone through that process, you know, there was me. It was like, I'm looking at this. I'm like, oh, it has nothing to do with you. Trust me.
Right.
It has a lot to do with what this birth mother wanted. So I had weird things like I wanted her to play the piano. I wanted her to take ballet, all the things that I couldn't do. Take ballet classes. I didn't want her to be a part of, I had a sister and a brother, and I was like, I wanted her to be a single child. I had all these stipulations in my head. So please, mothers out there, if you're looking at adoption, it's not you.
Oh my gosh. Well, first of all, thank you for sharing such a courageous story, because the first time you shared this with me, I don't know if you remember this, but we haven't really talked about it. But one of the first times I brought it up to you, actually, the first time that I brought it to you, first, I wasn't open to adoption for a very long time after I went through all the infertility treatment. And then I was in yoga class and you talked about having an option A, option B, option C in class. And then I came up to you and I said, thank you for this message, because I needed it, because I started to be open to other options in this creating this family, right? So I said, I think I have another option and I'm opening up to the possibility of adoption. And then you shared this story with me and I just cried, because it's women like you who gives this opportunity to other women like me to have a family and to have a child. So I thought I was so moved by it, and I took it as sort of like a calling. Okay, I think I'm going to move forward with this adoption. And I remember going home and my husband, Victor, I was like, guess what? I think I'm going to be open to adoption. I think I'm just thinking about it, but let's not do anything yet. So it's a process. And my heart just kind of opened to it. And your story just gave me this layer of, you know, heartwarming confidence that, okay, maybe there is this opportunity for me. So thank you for that. And I'm sure I can't even imagine how it must have been like for you, you know, just to give that up, a part of yourself. But also you knew, you were very clear that you wanted this child to have a different life that you didn't think that you could offer at that time.
Yeah.
Which is really brave. I mean, hats off to these women who have that clarity and then give women like us the opportunity to have a baby. So, but thank you for sharing your soul and your heart with that. We appreciate that.
Yeah, yeah. And it's, you know, it's not easy. You know, so, I mean, little things that I did because I was so scared I was going to change my mind.
Yeah.
One of the things when I was in the hospital, I was like, I cannot go up and see the baby. I knew if I did, you know, eventually I did go, but there was so many steps in it that was just, yeah. And I share that because oftentimes, you know, the woman changes their mind. Mm-hmm. And for women, it's not you. It's the hardest thing that a woman will do in their life, you know, and
I get that, because we had two failed adoptions, right?
Yeah.
And the moms changed their minds. But for me, I couldn't blame them either, because it's like, yeah, that's her child. But I was heartbroken for me and for us, for me and Victor, because it's like, oh, we thought we would have it this time, but no, it's not. And even the second time, and it was just like, oh, but I can't even blame them. I can't take it against them, because I can't even imagine to be in that position, really, to be in a position where you're giving up a child or you're wanting and desiring to have a child. It's hard either way.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And that's why we talk about all these things that, okay, we are here by chance. We get to choose on some things about life. We get to make decisions. But at the end of the day, there are just things that we're not meant to have. And so we make the most out of what we have.
Like, yeah.
And that's why that's where healing begins, because we because we can easily be taken by the grief and the losses that we have and the life that we planned not working out the way we wanted it originally. So it takes a lot of work and healing. And again, like to your point, it's a process. But I just wanted to share that story with everyone too, because if it inspires anyone, I know some of the women who listens to us, they don't have kids by chance, but they're also still not sure what if there are any other options. But again, there are always other options. After 3 years of adoption for us, we just chose, okay, I think this is it for us. And we're getting much older. Like, let's just live our life now, right? Like, let's move on. And that's where you guys come in, like, because you're coming from this perspective, like, no, life is good. You guys are living lives, and then you introduce me to other friends of yours who don't have kids, and whether by choice or not, it's just I see that, and you guys are an inspiration to us because we see that, okay, life, their life seems to be complete, right? Yep, you know, and we look up to that because it's good. It's good. We're planning trips now next year and in the next 2 years or so.
Yeah. And I had a time. So from that, it was not an easy experience in my
course.
And so I had this time where I made the decision, I'm not having kids.
Yeah.
I can't. And I think I was 18 then. Yeah. And I asked my gynecologist, I would like to get my tubes tied. She's like, you are too young to make that decision. I'm like, what? She's like, yeah, no, you're too young to make that decision. I'm like, but it's my decision. She's like, we'll talk about it next year. We went through many years of we'll talk about it. She's like, that's a major change of your body. Yeah. And there's a lot that we don't understand about the body that, you know, you need to keep everything intact. So we're not doing that. And so I went through a period of my life where I'm not having kids. And I grew up in South Dakota. So I grew up in a place where having kids is what you do. Mm-hmm. You get married and you have kids. Like, that's your path. There is no other path for women. And I remember just feeling trapped. Like there I was. Like, and I was like, well, maybe my decision's not it. Like, maybe I'm supposed to have kids. But now I'm about, like, I want to say 25, 26. And, you know, like, is that my only path? Like, what about a career? What about this? And I end up dating a guy who wants to have 5 kids.
Goodness. Yeah. Good luck with 5 kids.
I loved him, let me tell you. But by then, I'm 27, 28. And I'm like, this is the only path that I have for myself, mm-hmm. that identifies me as a woman. And I was like, there's got to be more, mm-hmm. you know, and I didn't fit in South Dakota anyways. I'm brown skin, Vietnamese. So I didn't fit in. That's a whole nother ball game. But now I don't fit in because now like all my friends are having babies.
Yeah.
And I'm not relating to that. And so I did what, you know, the smart person would do. I escaped. I moved to paradise.
Welcome.
There's
got to
be more than paradise.
Welcome to California, the melting pot, right? Like, talk about diversity here, which is amazing and beautiful.
There's all different color skins. There's women with kids, without kids. I found paradise, weather, all of it. But now I'm aging, you know, and now I'm about, let's go fast forward to like 39 or 38, 39. And now I start to question my decision. And I start to wonder, oh no, what if I regret this? My biological clock is ticking. If I don't do this now, I may never be able to do this. And so I am literally wreaking havoc on the inside. Like, oh my gosh, what if this is like the wrong decision? Everyone around me is having kids and what do I do? So I decide to start interviewing those people without children. I'm going to do a survey to make sure that I've made the right decision.
You were doing your own podcasting and interviewing, right, back then?
So I seek out, and I'm seeking out older people because I'm looking at, when I get older, will I regret? You know, so, And so I'm meeting with these older people. It, to me, like older was like 60, 70. Like today, I'm like, okay, wait, I'm heading toward that older. They're not, you know, I'm not so old.
It's different. It's different nowadays.
But as I would interview them, one of the first things I would hear is, don't get me wrong, I love my kids, but.
Yeah.
You know, and then they would start like, and I was like, wow, you know. Everything they would share, I was like, I started questioning, like, okay, I don't want to have kids because I like, this would be so amazing to bring this child into the world and watch them grow and teach them. And then I was now doubting my decision because what if I regret it? Mm-hmm. Like, and I came to the conclusion that is the wrong reason to have a child.
Yeah.
You know, the wrong reason to have a child is because society says, that identity is you as a mother, you know? Yeah. So it was like, all of a sudden I started going, okay, just because everyone around me is having kids and that's what says, but this is all the wrong reasons. Like if I want to have a child to bring into the world, just like when I gave up my child, I chose that because that child deserves everything that I knew I couldn't give. And now I'm like, wow, now I'm thinking about doing this because I might regret it. This is the wrong reason.
I'm so glad you brought that up because I had a conversation with Victor about that when we were going through the adoption, right? Because we were getting older. Do we do another year? Because you have to renew your home study each year. And I was very much aware of like why I'm doing this, right? Like at first, I wasn't sure if I wanted to have a child, but it was only with Victor. It was like the right partner and the marriage. I'm like, oh no, I want to have a family with this man. But then every time we talked about it, and then he would come up with all these reasons. And I said, we shouldn't be having a child because of these very specific reasons. It's not because to keep up with the Jonases, to keep up with the whole family, to like be, because we're the only ones really who don't have kids right now in our family, in our circle, close circle, really. So you kind of feel the odd one out, right? Almost outcasted in a way, just because when they start talking about families and kids, we have nothing to talk about. There's nothing, like you pointed out earlier, nothing is relatable. And there is that, oh, then we don't have any, you know, the next generation or not procreating for the next generation. I'm like, are you really going to do this because of that? Because we're trying to dig deep. Do we do another year of adoption? Do we even try again? We're much older. So we really had to go deep within ourselves and really ask ourselves, what do we want? Why do we want to have our own family? And it's only in these moments that you have that opportunity, because some just get pregnant so quickly, right? And it's like, they don't even really think about it. But then when they have kids, they're like, uh-oh, this is now a lifetime commitment. So it's almost like a gift as well for those who went through infertility like me. And you have that clarity right from the beginning. And then later on in your age, you're like questioning, right? I'm a late bloomer. So I started questioning myself like very late. Like, okay, do I really want to do this now? Because I'm getting older. My body's changing. It wouldn't be fair for the baby. It wouldn't be fair to me and everyone else. So yeah, it's a great point. I wanted to make sure like we highlight that because I'm so glad that you brought it up.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, sadly, you know, there's a lot of people who just get pregnant left and right. And then I just read literally an article yesterday that there was a baby that was left at a business class in a plane and the flight attendant just found the baby. And it was like one of those gut wrenching thing. Like, what about us who tried so hard to have a baby and then someone, you know, it's just like went through that route of leaving the baby just in an airplane. It's so heartbreaking in so many levels for that mom who would do that. And then for us, it's like, yeah, but I want to take that baby. You know, it's just, yeah, there's just a lot to it that we can really dive in. But I want to, so having said all that, right, like, and moving forward, how would you encourage for those who are now just like, okay, now moving on, no kids. Now, what can we do to enhance our lives and not really be defined by the role of motherhood?
Well, I think number one, you have to resolve, mm-hmm. you know,
the feelings, the emotions, the anger, the frustration. You have to resolve that, because otherwise it's there. It's kind of just like making you feel bad, you know, and one of the, it's going to be woo woo.
Yeah.
But compassionate self-forgiveness,
yeah,
you know, because if you can't resolve all of that, like it's going to be a heaviness that's always going to be there. And so you kind of have to do your spiritual work so that you can feel the lightness. And so, you know, compassionate self-forgiveness is really simple. Going in and really looking at what judgments, what misunderstandings, what did you take on during that experience? You know, so it's like, you know, I forgive myself for buying into the misunderstanding that I'm not being a mother is not my identity. Like I somehow took on the understanding that my identity is linked to motherhood. Because if you don't resolve that, then you'll start to isolate yourself from all of your friends who are mothers. We'll say that they're isolating us because that's what we do. We blame them.
Right, right, of course.
But when you go in and resolve the inner turmoil, then you identify with something different. So, you know, I had to go in and do some self-forgiveness about myself and my decisions and what I believed society that, you know, if I'm not a mother, then I, you know, obviously I'm not a woman, you know. So you have to go in and resolve that so that the external world can change. And so my external world started changing. Instead of, you know, being mad at my friends because they had birthday parties or whatever with their children and I'm no longer invited, instead inviting myself, you know. Hey, you know, I can't imagine how hard it is to be a mom and a dad. I'll be your babysitter.
Yeah.
And I would babysit for their kids, you know, and then one of my dear friends, she was a single mom. She knew at any time something was going wrong with her child in school, she could call me because I'll go get him. I'll go get him. No worries. I got him. I got him. You know, my other girlfriend, you know, she had her first baby and I was there to, you know, oh, you guys need to have date night, you know. Now they were a different group of friends because I went in and I did my internal work. My prior group of friends, I was upset with them because, you know, it's like they had kids.
And you were in different phase of your life then, right? That was before the growing happened and happened. Yeah. So it was different.
Yeah. So you kind of have to start to resolve your inner stuff, you know, and, you know, you know, as someone who made a choice, and I'm so happy at my choice today, let me tell you. But, you know, I forgive myself for judging myself as doing anything wrong, right? Because sometimes we judge ourselves, I should have done this. If I would have tried this, I might have been able to get pregnant or, right? You know, and I forgive myself for judging myself as not being okay, as not being worthy. You got to do the internal work so your external world starts to change. And then you're like, ah, this is all complete. Now I can go out and enjoy my life. And then all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, thank God I didn't have kids. I wouldn't be able to go on this Maldives experience. Yeah. I have some baby or something I'll be taking care of. Thank God. You know?
That's right. Yeah.
Everything starts to shift. But you have to do the internal work, because otherwise the external world is going to keep showing you that the internal work is not done.
So I just had a big aha moment from what you said, and it was about we tend to blame others, but then we can also isolate ourselves without realizing that. And I think I did that. I isolated myself because it was a way to protect myself, because it hurt.
Let those tears come, because it is, you know. Just put your hand on your heart and be like, yeah, I forgive myself.
Yeah.
Buying into the misunderstanding, and you just let it come, whatever those words are. Because you have to resolve these things on the inside, because they're there, but they're hidden, because we
protect ourselves.
Oh, no.
Because it was the only way I knew how to protect myself, because it hurt too much to see them and for them not to feel what I was going through. So, yeah, thank you for saying that, because that was a big, like, oh, shoot, I did that. I did isolate myself.
And many times, nobody Nobody, even someone going through the same style of experience that you are, nobody can understand what you are going through.
110%.
Nobody.
Nobody. And we yearn for that, right? We yearn for that empathy, that I want you to see me. I want you to feel my pain because I'm here alone feeling this. And it's just like, it can feel very, very lonely. And we don't even realize we're isolating ourselves. That's why it's like, oh, shoot, I did that. And when you said that, I was just like, oh, of course I did. Because it was how I coped at that time. Yeah. And then I might have lost some relationships because of that. But like to your point, and then as we evolve and we continue to do the work, I mean, I'm going through therapy every week, right? But there's always a layer. It's like now I'm like, oh, yes, I'm still crying right now because there's so many layers that are still unraveling. And I get that this is the healing. And yes, that's why we get to talk about it. We just, you know, nonchalantly, there's no big deal. Okay, I'm crying here right now. No big deal. And I just love that you said that because I think that really resonated with me. Thank you.
And as you start to heal on the inside, there's a high chance that you might go to one of these birthday parties or do, you know, one of these babysitting things that I did. And you're like, oh my God, thank God I should have kids.
I'm already doing that. Trust me, I've done it. And I'm like, oh, okay, here you go. Here's your kid.
Hand them back.
And now we're like, it was really great, but thank you, bye. And then Victor and I come home and we're so exhausted because it's like, oh yeah, that's right. Like, I'm so glad we don't have kids right now. Only because we're at the phase right now too that we're aging, and so things are changing, our bodies are changing. So it's definitely very humbling to really feel all the changes right now, and then realizing that okay, I think we made the right choice for us right now, you know, and we're good, we're okay.
And so oftentimes, when we're deep into the healing, the educational experience, we don't see it. Mm-hmm. We can't. We're blinded. And when we look back, we can go, oh, you know, and even like if I were, you know, I made a comment, which can stir, it can trigger some people. Look, the comment is, are you sure it's by chance?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it possible that there's a divine order that's happening? Because would you have never gone through this experience, Elizabeth? Would you be doing this podcast?
That's true.
Right?
I don't think so.
Would you be helping all the women right now that are going through what they're going through? Because I see thousands and thousands of people are going to end up on this podcast and feel a belonging and feel a connection and a safe place to share their turmoil. And this has not been available to the world. And you're making it available. But it could have never been available would you have not gone through what you've gone through.
You're right. I don't think so. And that's why I do believe in my soul and in my heart that this was the bigger purpose. Huh. Like I needed to put out this message and have a bigger purpose. Whatever that may be, I know I'm just the beginning. So it's like,
oh, I'm coming into my new era, right? And that's why we're celebrating life right now and just enjoying it.
But accepting that purpose and this different, because we always find like, oh, why didn't this happen to us? We tried so hard. But when you get to a point where you just allow things to happen and surrender to what is, it's like, okay, you know, the divine order and that God has bigger plans for us. Because it's like, by golly, we did everything. Although I know that there is no regrets because we know we did everything that we could. And so right now, it's just like, this is a new path for us and we get to enjoy it now and feel our feelings whenever it comes up, just like right now, and embrace the whole journey. So thank you for saying all that. Thank you for being here. I mean, you're always such a light. Like we go in full circle. We can talk about so many things here and I would love to have another conversation with you another time. I appreciate you. I love you. But wait, before we wrap up, I know I lighten things up with just like rapid fire questions in the end, just because why not? Give me one silver lining about not having children. I know there's a lot of silver linings, but just give me one
silver lightning right now. How many? Just one. Just pick one.
Well, you know, one beautiful thing for me is I had so many friends that I got to help through motherhood, because that is not an easy task. And so I stepped in and said, hey, I can babysit. Hey, I can do that. That's my number one, is I got to be there for another mother that, man, that's a hard job.
But then I got to hand the child back.
That's a real talk right there.
And now I'm going to go out and live an extraordinary life. So, you know, the other part of it is that, you know, moms and dads, their kids, you think at 18 are adults and they're gone. Well, I've spoke to many moms and dads. They're still worried about their children and worried about this and that. And like, and for me, it's like, I don't have that worry. I do not have that worry. And I remember calling my dad and actually saying to my dad, Dad, I didn't understand it as I was growing up, but, you know, thank you. Because as I watch so many parents today go through the disappointment and the schedules and them not being able to live their life because they're, you know, trying to take care of their children and help their, like, I'm like, you know, thank you for everything you did. And I'm so grateful that I chose not to do that. Because I now see it's a lot, Dad. It's a lot. Yeah.
It's a lot. That's so good. I mean, I'll give props to you. You're probably the only one who can make the rapid fire questions so deep and insightful. Just the first question, you're like, oh, wow, that's deep. Okay, that's very, I love that. I love that. I know where you went, but let's ask, where was the last time you traveled to and where is your next venture?
Do you know how the adventure started?
How?
So visualize way back in the day when I got divorced and I'm going to push through and blah, 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 blah.
I'm standing on a mountaintop in India, 31 million people surrounding me, and I'm standing on that mountaintop alone. And I was like, you know, I'm not going to stand on a mountaintop alone. People need to experience this. People need to be able to have this extraordinary life. Not many people could do what I did, you know, and I'm like, I want to create this for others. And so then
took a while for me to figure out how that's going to happen.
And I literally, you know, put my whole life, I was like, okay, I'm going to change my life. And ended up changing my life. You know, I used to own a Halloween store.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, had a Halloween store. I was like, you know, I heard a voice that said, sell your business and teach what you've learned. And share that gift for people to live a striving life, not just surviving day by day, but going on adventures and living life to its fullest. And so you are
living life like full of adventures.
So I put a plan in place. And to answer your question, I just came back from Peru.
Yes, you did.
Geographic, amazing.
I'm still so bummed I missed that.
Of us went on a journey of a lifetime. Yeah. And every year I do what I call an step out of the ordinary life and step into the extraordinary. And so my next big retreat internationally is the Maldives.
And we're signed up.
And I have you to thank for that.
As you posted your Maldives, where are you? What is that beauty? Is that on Earth? Where?
And it's so beautiful that we get to join you again. And we have committed to that. And I look forward to that. Goodness, that's going to be one epic trip for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, okay. What's your favorite food?
My favorite food?
Yeah. What? Can you pick one?
Pho Thai.
Pho.
Vietnamese soup.
Okay. Name one guilty pleasure that you shouldn't feel guilty about.
I love popcorn. I've told myself it's a vegetable.
You know that you're the second person to say on this podcast, popcorn, which I find, wow, that's interesting. I did not know that.
Yes. And it's a vegetable. So I've told myself it's totally fine.
Sure. Sure, it's a vegetable. I love that. Put some truffle oil on it and it's, love that. Okay. If money is not an option, what would you be doing right now?
Exactly what I'm doing. Yeah. I get the honor of watching people grow so much as a Kundalini yoga teacher. So a consistent practice, you know, sometimes we jump into things, but I get to actually watch people grow in and live the life of their dreams beyond stress, beyond worry. And for me, that's such a pleasure, you know? Yeah. Like, yeah, there's nothing else I would do in the world. Yeah.
It's beautiful. I mean, you really do practice like the passion that you have in your heart in helping people, and you really are the light. It's such an inspiration to watch you and see you do the things that you love, and with no expectations, just because you're doing all of these things because you just love them. So if anyone wants to connect with you, where can they find you? Anything that you would want to share?
Well, they could go to my website, which is my name, but it's a very complex name.
Yes, it's very
Lynn. Complex. Ha 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 ha! Sing along with me, Lynn. Linh. How will you remember how to spell that? If you do something loving, inspiring, nurturing, and honoring for yourself every day, you'll remember how to spell my name.
Perfect. And we'll have it in James. The show notes. Yeah, LynnJames.com. And she's got everything. So if you want to find any yoga class, any spiritual meditation practice, like Lynn is it. Like she does this crazy live meditation every day, which I was a part of in the first 6 months. They're still doing it for a couple of years now.
Yeah, we're on day 887 days in a row.
That's off. I mean, I'm in and out of it because it's hard to commit at 6:30 in the morning, but I love it. And so if you just want any spiritual teacher, like Lynn is it. Thank you. I love you. You're always just my light. Thank you for being my friend and my mentor. I appreciate your time being here and sharing your insight, and hopefully we'll have more of these together.
Thank you, my love. And thank you for the work that you're doing. I mean, as I listen to those other podcasts you've already done, this is definitely something that is needed in the world for people not to be alone and to be in community when they're going through something that is so hard, so hard. So thank you for offering that, making sure that people aren't alone in such a challenging experience of life.
I appreciate that. So much love to you. Mwah.
Mwah.
As always, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of By Chance Podcast. Your continued support will help us spread the word and create a movement out of this mission. Please don't forget to subscribe, and you can follow us on Instagram at bychance.gathering. You can also visit our website, bychancegathering.com, and you can sign up for our email list and be the first to know about our new episodes, updates, exclusive offers, and more. All this information will be in our show notes. Lastly, if this inspires you to share your story, please email us at hello@bychancegathering.com. I would love to hear from you. Or if you know anyone who would be willing to share their story, please let us know. Share this episode with a friend, and let's continue to normalize this conversation. Until next time, this is By Chance Podcast, and I am honored to walk this journey with you.